I wanted to just share on your worship. A couple of times it said that praise is your warfare. I had a dream once that was a home church, like your family, which is what this is. And it was surrounded by silhouettes, and it was like this color. It was like that, charcoal dark. And they all had automatic weapons. And they were all in sync, completely in sync. But when the people inside the house started praising God, they were confused. And they started hitting one another and falling down. They started destroying one another, just like you've read many stories in the Bible. And so this is the first time I've been in front of a group. I'm wearing waterproof mascara because crying is a part of my life now. When Landon passed away, my children felt it would be better to move me to where the most of our children were. And so I lived alone in someone's house for some time, and then we moved into our own, and I'm with Pauline and Jesse. I know you guys want to hear about how they're doing quickly. Judah is leading worship at Tree of Life in Danville. Naomi is, wait, let's go down the line. Isaac is leading worship at least three churches. He does three services on Sunday, two worship services during the week. He's also the youth pastor for his church. So he's really doing well. Pauline is working from home, and she has been getting raise after bonus after raise after promotion after raise. And now I listened to her on the phone, and because she's in charge of people, you know, she has to correct them sometimes. She sounds just like a pastor. She says, now, you're doing a good job in this. That's wonderful, but there are some things we need to address, and it's going to be hard to hear, but you know what? I'm here for you, and I'm going to help you get through it. And we're going to set some goals, and then we're going to make a difference, and we're going to see if we can't change this. And I'm going, you don't understand. You're pastoring all these people. So Naomi is working two jobs, one of them specifically to pay off her student loans, and the other one is managing a church. She also leads worship on Sunday, like every other Sunday, which leads me to Jesse, who is in Pensacola leading worship at a women's conference. And her boyfriend, hopefully soon to be son-in-law, who knows, moved in with us, so she moved in with Naomi. And she is working on an album. She is also working in a doctor's office. It's a, I don't know how you exactly call it, homeopathic doctor who has never lost a patient to COVID because they treat it so well. And people I know have lost 5, 6, 7 members of their family, their immediate family, to COVID. So you guys are a lot more spread out, but people are dying. And so the reason I share that is to say that I work with her 2 days a week doing stuff that I'm not responsible for anything. All I have to do is know my alphabet. I think I got that. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Judah is also homeschooling your children, which after my child who said, I'm never having children because I don't want to have a big family, she has 3 children and she's homeschooling. So, not eating her words, but still makes me feel better. So, I wanted to tell you how survival has been, because it was such a wild ride being Landon's wife. It was my life. And people are saying, why aren't you mad at God? Why aren't you, you know, because when I was a child, my mother believed the Bible, and it says, rehearse the good deeds of God in your children's ears so that in the time of testing, they will stand and not faint. And so I had my mother's stories. I had our stories where we laid hands on the cabinet and said, be filled in the name of Jesus. Be filled in the name of Jesus. And someone said, can you handle 2 boxes of food? And I said, well, yeah. And they were not boxes. They were pallets. I had to put my children inside them to get all the stuff, 4 by 4 by 4 of food, 2 of them. We were giving it away. We had an entire 6-foot bookshelf full of canned goods alone. So They have their stories, how they believed God for a computer for college, and I didn't even know, and God supplied it. So when this came, is anybody old enough to know the saying, you can't tell the players without a program? It's a baseball thing. You can't tell who's playing first, second, third without knowing it's in the program. And when this happened to me, people and even family members were saying, I am still mad at God. I said, well, let's look at their job description. And I have only one scripture, so I will not take much time. But the one scripture that I have is John 10:10. It says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And as far as I'm concerned, he stole our future. He destroyed my life. And he killed my husband. That has the devil's signature written all over it. There is no question who killed my husband. It was the devil. And the rest of that scripture says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So in that one scripture, you have God's job description. And in all this, I had to cling to the nature of God because I couldn't even think of a scripture. I have a friend who just lost a husband. And she was 20 years younger than I was, and she lived with us as a youth. And I just want to share with you the things that I've learned. It's very short. Trust me, I'm reading fast. The only way that I could get through this was to know the nature of God and remember who he is. He loves us, and he gave himself for us. I still don't understand how the world could be a better place without land. But I do know a few things. Number one, it is the devil who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It was not God who took him. It was God who received him. Number two, telling this widow, you did not do anything wrong. This is not punishment. The thief came in the night and stole him. Number three, you don't have to do anything. I couldn't be spiritual. I couldn't put a brave face on. I felt like I had been hit by a truck. Every bone in my body had been broken, and all of my cell walls in my body had been destroyed. And I said, number four, since we are crushed, bruised, and broken, all we can do is lay at the feet of the one who loves us, the only one who can help us heal from this impossible wound, for we've been torn apart from our very DNA, the one that made us one with the one we've been made one with, which was Landon. And I just shared with her what God has been telling me. It's not the time to accomplish things. I told myself I'd take a year off, and the only time I've taken a job was to get my mind off of our anniversary or Valentine's Day or Fat Tuesday, you know, and St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Can't even think about April Fool's Day because we waited till April 2nd so that Lana wouldn't be buried on April Fool's Day. So I've been working quite a bit. But I'm working in the doctor's office and I don't have any responsibilities. They all love me because nobody wants to file. So the last thing that I said to her is, this is the time that you just let God hold you. You don't have to hold on to him. Going through it is a lot harder than giving advice about going through it. The only thing I have forced myself to do is listen to worship, but I still can't listen to guitar. I don't force yourself to do anything that you don't feel the Holy Spirit telling you to do. He won't ask you to do a lot. He knows what you're going through. And so through this whole year, there have been so many COVID scares. I have quarantined so many times. And the only time I ever got it again was when family brought it in. Jesse's doctor went to work with a fever. She brought it into the house. Everybody was sick. Isaac had two tests before he came from California. Got a phone call after he got to our house and started getting sick that his roommate had tested positive. Oddly enough, his roommate blamed him for it. But when this last freeze came through Texas, It was so cold, we had to leave our house. Wow. And we left our pipes running, like every good Virginian knows how to do. But the temperature in our house dropped below zero. It wasn't even freezing. It was way down there. And our pipes burst. When we came back less than 24 hours later, the flood came in. I'm going, you know what? After the year I've been through, this really doesn't bother me. It's like, okay, we'll just take it one step at a time. Zebulon Collins is spearheading it, and he's dealing with the insurance company. He's ripping the walls out, taking pictures of all the mold in the walls, and I'm going to get a new bathroom out of it, but I don't know if they're going to pay for it all. So I'm thankful that Zebulon's there, because it's just like, okay, bring it on. What next? But I still don't know what my future will bring. And I have one last thing to do. The Charlotte Observer called me, oddly enough, while I was here and asked me if I would tell them how we got from New Orleans to Concord, North Carolina, where Landon passed away. And he wanted to let me know that, because Landon was the first person to die in their area, that it rocked the entire community when Landon passed away. And I thought, well, you think it rocked your world? I have news for you. That ain't nothing. But this is the first time I've spoken in front of a group, and I thank you for being my family, so that I can come here and share without being afraid or self-conscious. And I just want to thank your pastors for being our friends. You guys have been, you have no idea that when someone says, I'm praying for you, you have no idea how my heart latches on to that. Because there is nothing that can change the important parts of my life more than prayer. No money, no gifts, no nothing. Nothing can touch my life like your prayers can. And I just thank you guys all for praying for us. And really, God is good. He's taken very good care of me. I want you to know that the reason I'm standing here is to the glory of God. He has done good things in my life. And there is a future somewhere. I don't know what it is yet. But for right now, I'm filing, and all I need to know is my alphabet.
Standing in the presence of the Lord. Standing in the presence.